Tonight we celebrate the feast day of the Assumption of Our Lady into Heaven. This dogma of the faith, this doctrine, was officially defined in the year 1950 by Pope Pius XII, but has been part of the teachings of the Church, part of the belief of the Church since the apostolic time, since the time of the apostles. It's part of the sacred tradition that has been passed down to us from the apostles. Now, what is the definition of the Assumption of Our Lady into Heaven? Well, the Church teaches us that at the completion of Mary's earthly life, she was taken up, body and soul, into heaven to be reunited with her divine Son. Now, the Church very carefully worded that definition to leave out the question on whether or not Mary experienced death. We do not know whether Mary died or whether she fell into a peaceful slumber, a peaceful sleep, and then was taken up into heaven. The Church leaves that open by saying, at the end of her earthly life, at the completion of her earthly life. Then it also states that Mary did not ascend to heaven of her own power. Only God could do that. Only Jesus could do that. Mary was assumed into heaven, taken up by the power of God into heaven, body and soul. See, body and soul. That's the difference. Our Lady does not have to wait until the second coming to get her glorified body. We will have to wait. When we die, our souls go either to heaven, hell, or purgatory until the end of time. But at the second coming of Christ, we get our glorified bodies at the second coming of Christ at the end of the world. Mary, because of her closeness with Christ, does not have to wait until the second coming to get her glorified body. She got to take it immediately into heaven. So it pays to be the Blessed Mother, right? One of the great benefits of being the mother of the Savior, that Jesus did not allow her body to corrupt and decay in the earth, but that it was taken up into heaven. When we look at this teaching, when we try to explain it to our friends of other faiths, we should first start by letting them know how appropriate, how fitting it was that God did this for his mother. Jesus was a good boy. He was a good son. He took care of his mother. So it's appropriate and fitting that he would honor his mother by not allowing her body to corrupt and decay. Because she carried Jesus within her womb for 9 months as the living temple of God, the living tabernacle, the first chalice, the first ciborium. God would not allow this living tabernacle to be corrupted. And just as Mary took care of Jesus for 9 months in the womb, so Jesus would take care of his mother at the end of her life. And because she was the new Eve, because she was conceived without original sin, born into this world without original sin, and because she was the Ark of the New Covenant, God took up her body and soul into heaven immediately at the end of her life. Then we can also explain some scriptural passages that can support this. It is true that the word Assumption is not mentioned in the Bible, but then again, neither is the word Trinity, and yet all Christians believe in the Trinity, even though the word is not found there. However, we can see by looking at Scripture that this teaching makes sense and corresponds with the teachings of Scripture. For example, in that first reading tonight from Revelation chapter 12, John looks up to heaven and he sees the Ark of the Covenant. And immediately it says, he sees the woman clothed with the sun, on her head a crown of 12 stars. And this is the woman that would give birth to the Savior, obviously our Blessed Mother. Notice how the Ark of the Covenant and Our Lady are seen almost as one in heaven. And then in that second reading from Paul to the Corinthians, Paul says, for just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ all shall be brought to life, but each in proper order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. So obviously Our Lady was the first fruits of Christ's redemptive work. The Assumption is Mary's participation in the resurrection of the Lord, that he allowed her to be the first fruits of his redemption, and take her body and soul immediately into heaven. When we look at some of the other passages in Scripture, we know that this is not out of the ordinary. In Genesis chapter 5, it mentions that Enoch walked with God and was seen no more. That Enoch had a mysterious ending of his life. Elijah in 2 Kings was swept up to the heavens in a fiery chariot. If God did this for two of his greatest prophets, would he not do it for his own mother? But then we can also lastly explain to our friends that history is on our side as well. That whenever a saint died, the cities would honor those saints by building churches over their remains. We know that St. Peter's was built over the relics of St. Peter. St. Paul's was built over the relics of St. Paul. But no city has ever claimed to have the relics of the Blessed Mother. No city has ever claimed to have her remains, her bones. That's because, as we can say, there are no bones about it. She was taken up into heaven at the end of her life. If a city had her remains, then we would have them with us today, just as we have the relics of Peter and Paul and all the apostles. So what is the assumption? It is our hope and our comfort on our pilgrim way to heaven. If this happened to one of the members of the human race, it's a foreshadowing of what will happen to us and what will happen to the church as a whole. That's why this feast day is called Mary's participation in the resurrection of Christ and our anticipation in what we look forward to in heaven, when one day we will be with the Lord, both body and soul, into heaven. So this is a wonderful feast day of Mary's maternal love for us, that from heaven now, Mary intercedes for us, and she's that shining star that we follow to get to Christ. And so we see, we're filled with hope when we think of this feast day. Because what Mary did as the pattern, this is what will happen to the church. Mary made it to heaven by the grace of the Lord. So we too look forward to being with God for all eternity as well. So whenever we meditate upon the glorious mysteries of the Rosary, always think about the Assumption of Our Lady into heaven. And the grace to pray for in that decade is the grace to desire heaven above all things, and also to pray for a happy death, to die in the state of grace so that we could go to heaven to be with the Lord as well. As you know, in the church, we're putting in all 20 mysteries of the Rosary. The joyful mysteries there, the luminous mysteries there, the sorrowful and the glorious. We have 6 of 20 mysteries of the Rosary. But one of the ones we already have is the Assumption of Our Lady into heaven. What a beautiful window back in the back of church, where you see the angels carrying Mary's body up into heaven. What a beautiful event this was, and what a great event it is for us as well, as we honor Our Lady and ask her to help us to get to heaven as well. And so we honor Our Lady by praying, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.